The only losers are quitters. That ain't us. We're not quitters. Praise the Lord. God is good. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Luke 6:38. You know it? Praise God. We're glad you're here tonight. Glad everybody's well. And we'll continue to be.
Yes.
You're not eating that fruit ever again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right, so we're talking about kingdom keys. And we're talking about kingdom keys, the kind of keys in life, you know, there's a key to everything. And so it's something that will help you get to where you're going. That's what we're talking about, how you can live in the kingdom. And so the main things that we've talked about is just four simple, very simple things. Number one is you need to know who God really is. I mean, half of Christianity thinks God is a half bad and half good, which is ridiculous. He's all totally good, and the scripture proves that out over and over. And then who we are. Who are we really? We're not a bunch of old sinners saved by grace. Jesus paid the price for us. And so we have to understand that it's all because of what he did. And I heard, Chris is not here, is he? Chris told me, I want to share this with you. This is interesting. Chris told me that he had some friends who were in the military. And they said this to him, bless their hearts. They said, you know, we gave up our chance for our country. We gave up our chance to go to heaven. Because we had to kill people in the military. And I told Chris, I said, you need to write back to them and tell them the only sin that will keep you out of heaven is not receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Besides that, there's a difference between murder and killing. You see that in the Bible. It's thou shalt not murder. Now, anyway, I just wanted you to know that because there's so many people believing so many strange things and who they are. And you know, we were raised in one of those churches. We were just old sinners saved by grace, and Jesus didn't do it all, you know, and we, you know, barely knew what was going on there. But praise God, they did the best they could. Now, so who we are, what God wants. What does God want? We started talking about that on Sunday. And then how is he leading you in this moment? This is a good God. He wants to lead you. How's he doing that? And I'm discovering that these things kind of blend together. Who we are, who he is, what he wants, and how he's leading you. They're starting to blend together the more that I'm studying this and looking at it. So tonight we're going to go back to what God wants. What does God want? We said Sunday it was this simple. He wants us to win. Because when we win, other people will win. You can help other people if you're winning. If you're a loser, it's pretty hard to help people. But if you're a winner, you can get some things done. Amen. And people will follow you. So what I want to look at, I want to look at this scripture right here, Luke 6:38. This scripture has been quoted every week for years at this church. And I thought, you know, maybe we ought to slow down concerning this scripture and really look at it. So let's read it. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, in order for this to just not be mental assent, we got to do what we did with Psalm 91. Yeah. You got to start living in it. Uh-huh. You got to start eating it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, because I spent time making God my refuge. And so we started having an outbreak of miracles over Psalm 91. It was still happening this week. One of our friends was in the hospital, and we told Pastor Ann about it. She passed the news on. They began to read that scripture over. Her daughter's precious. In fact, I'm going to have her come preach here sometime. But Misty began to read that over her, and she started getting better. She just started getting better because you start trusting in God. So let's do that then tonight with this scripture so that we can win. Because, you know, we have this Aaliyah seed in the ground. And we don't want to let go of that. Now, think about the fact that we gave all those thousands of dollars, which is wonderful. We don't even need to talk about the giving part in this church. Yeah. We just know who we are. We're givers. And what was the seed? To bring them home. And what's happening right now? Americans are needing to be brought back home.
Yes.
And so I've taken that and made it part of my harvest.
Oh, that's so good.
And I've been praying early in the morning, Lord, now I have a harvest. Bring our people home now.
Yes.
Get them home safely. So amen. So I'm sure you've been doing that. You've been doing that as well. Because you pull off that seed. That seed's not just a little seed that grew a couple of stalks or something.
Uh-huh.
That's a tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So this is what God wants. And like I said, we have the giving part down, but I want to talk to you about the receiving part, okay? Now, this verse actually lies in the context of the Beatitudes, okay? Beatitude just means a declaration of blessing or being blessed. That's what it's talking about. We would say, if we were going to translate this down, what we would say is empowered to prosper. So let me just do a beatitude here then. This is what it would say. Empowered to prosper are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Okay? Are you with me? Everybody with me? Okay. Because I can wait. Okay. So, empowered to prosper are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So Jesus is actually given the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
And so he's saying all these things. Each beatitude is like a bomb dropping on these people. Because this is not what they were thinking. So every time they heard what he said, it was different from what they expected to hear. So they would expect to hear something more like, blessed are those who are Abraham's seed. They weren't expected to see, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, because they just, you know. Now, Galatians does tell us we're Abraham's seed, and we do qualify to be blessed because the curse has been removed. That's true. It's a true statement. But there's a missing link between us and them, and that missing link there where they were standing is poor in spirit means recognize your need for a savior. That's what poor in spirit, it doesn't mean you're, it means that it doesn't mean you're poor. It means that you recognize that you need more than just yourself. That's what that means. So empowered to prosper, I'll say it like this, if you don't try to do it alone. That God is your source. And so, but they didn't get that because they were what? Self-righteous. They're self-righteous. We are the righteousness of God because Jesus paid the whole price for us. So it's not based on what we've done. We haven't earned anything. We just received everything that Jesus did, and he stands in the gap, stood in the gap. He canceled our sin, and now he stands, and his blood stands in the gap for us. I was telling some of the folks this early this morning when we were praying, I said, one of the things that we do need to understand is that that blood of Jesus was innocent blood.
Yes.
Now, the curse is punishment. And so when Adam pulled on the curse, when he brought the curse in, that is punishment. But you can't punish the innocent, because if you do, it's going to flip things over. And that's exactly what happened. But the blood is innocent. So when you plead the blood, that doesn't mean you're going, oh, God, I plead the blood. That means you're standing in court saying the blood of Jesus. You're actually saying, I'm innocent because I'm in. The blood is mine. The blood is canceled. But you're innocent, so that innocence can't be punished. You don't punish the innocent.
No.
Okay. So, but these guys, before Jesus went to the cross, they're still in the self-righteous thing. They're still trying to follow the commandments that they didn't even need to get back then, but they said, tell us what to do and we can do it. When really they should have heard the voice of God like Moshe was doing.
Right, that's right.
Amen. Amen. Moses. Okay, so, Jesus said then, give and gifts shall be bestowed on you. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they pour into your laps. For with the same measure that you use, they shall be measured to you in return. So Jesus is just saying, give. Like I said, we've got that part down. And then he tells you what would happen. So it said that they would be given to. Now, here's what some people would say. They'd say, well, now, I have given, and I don't want anything in return. I give because I love. I work alone, let me just preach. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. But I tell you, that's not the right answer for what Jesus said right here. Give, and it will be given unto you. And it's all going to be based on these things right here. And one of the things that it is absolutely based on is that, how do I want to put this? You're not obeying Jesus if you don't receive. Let me just say it like that. Let's just talk Texas here. You wouldn't be obeying Jesus if you didn't receive. Because it said give, and then this is going to happen to you. This is going to happen to you. Right. So what they're actually saying is self-righteous. They're saying, well, I give because I love. Well, that's a no-brainer. Of course you give because you love. It's absolutely the truth. But you also should want to receive because you love. Because life is a cycle. Life, kingdom is seed time and harvest. Okay. All right. So you're quiet. Okay. So then let's talk about this. Well, I've given and I didn't get anything back. Okay, I can answer that real easy. You're doing it wrong. You're just doing it wrong. Okay? So, first of all, that very confession puts you in the wrong place. Because you're going to have what you say. And so if you're just saying, it never works out for me, I don't know why they always get it and it never works out for me. Well, why did I get sick and they didn't? That's the wrong question.
Yeah.
That's the wrong question. You need to speed on past that. And so that has nothing to do with faith. And it takes faith to walk in these things. And so you know what faith requires. Faith requires fresh food. You have to have fresh food, so let's just eat some fresh food on this right now. And then it will be working for you. This is real simple, but it's just real true. Give and it shall be given unto you good measure. What in the world is a good measure? What's a good measure? Well, the scriptures, the actual Greek here says it's a valuable, limited portion. It's valuable. So even if you use a teaspoon, whatever came back to you, measured back to you, is going to be different than just what you put out there. Because there is a different rating on it. Okay? You with me? Okay. So, now, if you need a teaspoon of salt in the recipe, then what do? Do you put a tablespoon in? You put a teaspoon in. You measure. So this is a measurement. So what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us, what Jesus was telling us, is it's going to be measured. And guess who measures it? I do. You do. You're making the measure. You can do teaspoons or you can do dump trucks. Right? It's your choice. And he seemed to be okay with that because he said you could measure it. You can measure it. Okay. So that then we could say that the measurement puts you in the driver's seat. So you'll have to be in control of that. So you measure your own return. But then the kingdom is so wonderful that even in that measurement, it's going to increase and expand. That measurement will increase and expand because the kingdom of God is like leaven. Okay. It invades space. And then it says press down. So what's that? Well, it means pack. And I have the easiest illustration for that. Have you ever gone out for ice cream? And they get that spoon and they're digging in that thing. And I'm like, and they're going, how many scoops do you want? And I'm going, one. And they pack it and pack it and pack it. And then it's this big old thing. And I'm like, and who can eat three? You know? But you know, some of the people I go with, I'm not going to say anything. Me and Deb and Chris and Jenna and the girls went for ice cream. And I mean, those people were packing it on there. And they pack it. Why do they pack it so tight? This is so simple. I mean, this is like, it's not rocket science to get more. They stuff it in that cone. They stuff it in that cup. And they keep going. You're going, it's a lot. Y'all thinking about ice cream now? Okay. So you get plenty and you have plenty. It's measured back to you and it's packed. And then it says shaken together. So that's agitate. Shaking it down and getting it in there. You've done that with stuff where you're trying to get it to settle down in there. And you get it down in there so tight that you can fit more. So this whole measurement is growing now, okay? And then why do they pack it down? Because next comes running over. Running over. That measurement is packed so tight, and then he keeps pouring. He keeps loading it up even after that. So overflow is a big thing with God. Overflow is a big thing with God. He wants life more abundant for us. Overflow means to fill beyond the brim, to deluge, to overwhelm, to run over, to swell, run over again, to be abundant, copious, exuberant, to spread over. And interesting enough, we have an Old Testament scripture that says, my cup runs over. He's all about that. He's all about your cup running over. It's the kind of God he is. So good measure, pressed down, shaken together, are all after one thing. They're after that overflow point. They're after that cup running over point. All those other ones are after the overflow. This is going to happen so we can get to the overflow. Are y'all with me? Yeah. So we're going to the overflow now. And God likes the overflow. This is what we call it, too much. Amen. It's too much. Too much joy. Too much peace. Too much fun. Too much love. Too much money. Too much milk. Too many toys. Too many cookies. Yeah, we might not add that one in there, but praise the Lord. We already ate the ice cream. We'll leave the cookies off. Okay. So what does God want? He wants overflow. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I just got that. I just heard, what does this have to do? How can we even think about this in the times we're living in? This is the exact time when we need to overflow. You got to be full of the anointing of God, full of the Spirit, full of the Word, overflowing with the Word, if you're going to do something in this world in this time.
Amen.
This is the exact time to be in the overflow. Everybody know David Barton? No, y'all don't know him? You don't know him, Joy? You know Glenn Beck and David Barton? So they're over, way over yonder. And so they raised $26 million to go get people and bring them home. Now, somebody had to have some millions. But if you could have some and you could save a person. So don't sit around and tell me, well, me and Mama, we just need enough for us four, no more. That's selfishness. So God is into this. And and I'm not just talking about finances either. He's into you having an overflow of health. He's into you having an overflow of joy. Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. Because there's so much going on. I don't mean that literally. I'm just saying that you put forth an effort to go ahead and step out and praise God anyway, when sometimes you'd rather just go, Lord, it looks like it's all going to... looks like it's all going to hell in a handbasket. But it's not. We have a big God. But the big God put people on the earth that need to speak out and do a job. We have authority on this earth. We have anointing on this earth. And it's up to us to do something about it, particularly in your prayer life. Amen. Okay. So we'll just finish up here then. It's God's nature. You know, people say, well, doesn't God know when the cup's full? I mean, he is all-knowing. Doesn't he know when the cup's full? He does. But his nature is overflow. Everything he does is better, best. He's into overflow. He's always more than enough. That's his name. El Shaddai is a God who's more than enough. It's always going to be over with him. It's always going to be more with him. He just doesn't want you to be healed. He wants you to be whole. It's always that way with him. When he delivers well. And he's going to be doing some big delivering. There's a flip right after this flop. Yeah, there is. This is how he is, church. And we need to learn to live with this, church. We need to learn to live with this. We need to get out of all of our religious stuff and all of our, well, I just, and just go ahead and take my needle in right now and enjoy the Lord, because he is good and it is his nature to overflow. Do you want me to say that right now? Okay, I'm going to hold that for just a minute, but I have something I want to say to you. Never again, never again say, I wonder if we will have enough. Never again. You will. You don't have to wonder about anything. I wonder if we'll have enough. Well, who's your God? Who is your God? I've been young and I've been old and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. He is faithful. The only time you don't see results is when you turn it off, because God gave you a free will to act out any way you want to. But if you will receive and be on the ready, you will actually see the hand of God move for you. You will get the results. You will pull it in. You will download. However way you want to say it, it'll happen. And, you know, this too much thing, here's the scripture we can really see it in. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace. So grace is a big word. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that you always have enough of everything.
Amen.
You will have enough of everything. You get that locked in Like you have Psalm 91 locked in, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. The last word there is bosom. They wore these tunic things that had a thing that drooped down right here, right before it got to the girdle part. And they would carry stuff in that pocket.
Yeah.
When Boaz gave to Ruth, he took that and filled up that pocket. So they called that the bosom. But that was a pocket on their clothes, see? And so God wants to fill your pockets to the overflow. He wants to fill your pockets to the overflow, your heart pocket, your spirit pocket, your joy pocket, your love pocket, your friend pocket, your peace, all of it. He wants to do it. And I want to say it to you like this so you get the point. The pockets are where you catch it and keep it. Okay, so that would be like your spirit is a pocket. So you could catch this today. Yeah, Lord just set me up. Okay. So you can catch what I'm telling you today, and it could be something more than just, well, that was a nice little word. Or you could really meditate on that, or you could be thinking about something else. You know, when we come, we might as well focus. Forget about what's going on out there and take 30 minutes and focus and meditate on the word. Then you have some food in you, and then, I love what Brother Copeland always says to us. He always say, now, just go ahead and make a quality decision not to be distracted.
Yeah.
Because if you will not be distracted, you'll get something out of something that is being said. And so I think it's so important that these days that we make sure that when we're together that we get something. I cannot, church, I can't be a career pastor. And I've been here long enough that it's a career. But I can't think that you're going to come to me in the days ahead and say, why didn't you tell me? These are serious times.
Yes, they are.
So I think we have to spend our time, I have to spend my time building you up. I mean, I could probably think of a whole lot of cuter, more things to say, but I'm not. I'm just not. We have to get filled with the Word, because when you get the Word on the inside of you, you'll have some faith. And if you have some faith, you can move mountains.
Yes.
And so this is just the way we're going to do it. And I promise you, you're going to watch career pastors move over into real pastoring in the next days. And then you're going to watch some career pastors, you won't hear from them anymore, because we're in those days. And I'm not trying to insult anyone. I'm just telling you, God needs people on board to help the sheep stay, because there's a lot going on in your life. I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And so are you. Okay, so you can take that or not, but... Okay, so in the spirit realm, you need these pockets. So now that's a decision. So when you gave, you decided.
Yes.
And when you reap, it's a decision. Have a cookie.
I believe I will.
What'd you do? You took it.
Yeah.
I believe I will.
Yes.
That's as easy as I believe I believe I will have my harvest.
Yeah.
I believe I'll take my harvest.
Yeah.
I just believe I'll have that harvest. I believe I'll have a harvest of goodness. I believe they're all going to get back home.
Yeah.
I believe that people are going to come to this house that really want God. I believe that we're going to be full. I believe that souls are going to get saved. That's the harvest I want off that seed.
Yeah.
And I'll take some finances as well. I believe for a great financial harvest, because I've a lot of giving to do. I like to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's a decision. So and obviously I'm preaching to the choir, because you just said, I believe I will. I take it. I have it.
I thank you for it.
I always forgive. That's as simple as it is, church. Just take this, ooh, I feel the anointing.
Yeah,
just take this great and grand setup that God gave to us. He said, if you'll do this, I'll do this Luke scripture for you, 6:38. I'll do it for you. I'll give it to you. I'll put it out there for you. If you will just get involved. And you did. And now you got to do the other side of it. I believe I will. And I'm not just talking about this particular seed. All the seeds that you've sown. All the seeds. Maybe some seeds that mom and dad sowed that they never claimed. Get that harvest. Praise God. I'm happy. The destiny that God has chosen for you and me is overflow. It's not just enough. It's not just enough. Not enough was Egypt. Just enough is the wilderness. Manna every day. It just came every day, which is what you need. Just paid the rent. We live in more than enough.
That's right.
We live in the promised land. It's always going to be more than enough. So before you trip back into your old thinking every day, just ruminate on this. Did I say the word right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Ronnie didn't look at me, so I didn't know if I said it right.
You're good.
Oh, you did? Okay. She's my English major, my English teacher here. Okay. So just bring it back up again. No, we'll have more than enough. We're going to have more than enough. We're going to have more than enough to do every single thing God called us to do. Every single thing God calls us to do, we'll have more than enough to do it. All the time, anytime. Anytime He calls on us, we'll be able to do it. And that's what we're going to be known for. We can do it. We can run over and pray for someone. People have been calling us up for prayer a lot. Things are going, can y'all pray for this? Can y'all pray for this person? Can we do it? Yeah, that's our specialty. That's what we do. Amen. We're anointed to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, let me read you this as we're close. I'm going to read to you Genesis 1:27-28. Okay? Now, listen mindfully. So, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And He blessed them and said, be broke, have no success, decrease in number, lose what you have, and let the devil and the world system boss you around.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, it didn't say that? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the every living thing that creeps on the earth. We have authority over creeps. And there's a lot of them running around right now. Oh, excuse me. Creep behavior. Not judging the person, just their behavior. Creepy behavior. Listen, I'm really working on this because you got to talk back to the news all the time, you know. So it's just like today I heard it was an out and out lie, just a flat out lie. And me and my big mouth, I looked at the TV. I said, liar. And then I went, oh, Lord, I apologize. Lying behavior. So I command a crop failure over that. I made a judgment and but it was a lie. It was an out and out lie. Every one of you would have gone, what? I mean, just blatant stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how the devil is.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we're not called to be broke and have no success and decrease in number. We're called to win. This is what God called man on earth to do. So, you know, our lives can be really good if we just apply this to everyday life. If we just think, you know, we're living in good measure. We're living a good measure. Remember your good measure? Remember your good measure? Praise the Lord. You know, past experiences and failure, they condition your minds to accept disappointments and discouragement. Well, it's, you know how it is, and it's just not ever been very good for me. And stop it. Don't let those past experiences. Listen, if you've given and you've never noticed your harvest, which you got to be kind of blind not to see that you get a harvest all the time and that God doesn't take care of you. I mean, you know, you didn't walk to church. You're not living without air conditioning. You know, this is a good life. We're all, you know, we're rich. Right. Well, you don't look too rich. Well, I am. I'm cool in here. I got shoes. I do. Probably not as many as your wife, but I do have a lot of them. I probably don't have as many as John and Art, but I'm kidding. You know, the thing about it is past experiences and failure, they condition you to accept those disappointments. And then religion comes along and they excuse the failures and call them lessons. Now, you can learn something from a failure, but you better learn it with God. And not just say, yeah, listen, I know people have made the same mistake over and over and they never learned anything. But if you're going to learn something, it's going to be because you ran to God. And if you do make a mistake, that's exactly what you should do, is run to Him, not from Him. It's not like He doesn't know what's going on. Just run to Him. He's there for us every time. You received the word tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are a good God. And Lord, we thank You that we know that You are for us. You are a God of overflow. We thank You, Lord, that our thoughts are going to line up with this word. You favor us. You want to favor us with overflow. And we just receive it tonight, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.